All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to First Works Baptist Church. Let's all find our seats. As you find your seat, please grab a songbook. Turn to song number 424. Song number 424, O Come All Ye Faithful. And let's all stand together for this first song, if you are able. Song number 424, O Come All Ye Faithful. All together on that first verse.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. All ye bright hosts of heaven above, glory to God all, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee
for this happy glory.
Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. Wonderful singing. Let's start off our service with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for giving us this day that we can come here to your house, Lord, and sing these hymns unto you and these praises unto you, Lord. And we ask that you would please just bless our service this morning, Lord. Please bless every aspect of it. Please fill us with your spirit in the congregation, Lord, throughout the singing, that it would prepare our hearts for the preaching. And please also fill Pastor Mejia with your spirit as he preaches unto us, Lord, that we may leave here changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Please turn your songbooks to song number 425, just one page over. Song number 425, No Room in the Inn. Song number 425, all together, nice and strong on that first verse.
No beautiful chamber, no soft cradle bed. No place but a manger, nowhere for his head. No praises of gladness, no thought of their sin. No glory but sadness, no room in the inn. No room, no room for Jesus, oh, give him welcome free. Lest you should hear at heaven's gate, there is no room for thee. No sweet consecration, no seeking his part. No humiliation, no place in the heart. No thought of the Savior, no
sorrow for sin. No prayer for his favor, no room in the inn. No room, no room for Jesus, oh give him welcome free. Lest you should hear at heaven's gate, there is no room for thee. No one to receive him. No balm to relieve him. No staff but a spear. No seeking his treasure, no weeping for sin, no doing his pleasure, no room in the inn. No room, no room for Jesus, oh give him welcome free. Lest you should hear at heaven's gate, there is no room for thee.
All right, great singing. Thank you for being here this morning. Just a few announcements here before we sing our next song, which will be 426 if you want to get that ready in your songbooks. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, 426. If you did not get a bulletin, go ahead and raise your hand. One of the ushers can get one for you. Important information on there. Of course, our services are as follow. Sunday morning is at 10:30, Sunday evening at 5 p.m., and then we have our Thursday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We are a family-integrated church, and so infants and children are always welcome in the service. But for your convenience, the mother baby rooms are located in the back of the building. Should your child need some diversion and changing tables, speakers and screens are available there as well. So you can still tune into the preaching. And then you see the soul winning times and teams there in the middle. The list of expecting mothers, if you can keep them in prayer. And then the important reminders there at the bottom. Please make sure you read that. And then on the right hand side there. This coming Saturday, December 16th at 6 p.m. is the First Works Christmas. Wait, is it this coming Saturday? It is, right? Yeah. Is the First Works Christmas program. And so I believe the last two practices will be after service today in the morning, and then we'll have another practice tonight, right? And so tonight will be the costumes, and they'll wear all the gear and the attire. It'll be like a run through for the program. And so I want to encourage you to make sure you invite your family and friends to that, to come see the kiddo scene. Of course, the orchestra is going to be playing right before that, but it starts at 6 p.m. And so we're looking forward to that. If you have any questions regarding the program, you can see Brother Maury Lemons. He's the one who's running that entire program there, and so you can see him for more details about that. Sunday, December 24th, of course, is our Christmas Eve service. Don't want to miss church on Christmas Eve, right? You know, it's Christmas Eve, right? And so the services are going to be at the regular time for Sunday morning, Sunday night. After Sunday morning service, there will be Mediterranean food for lunch, and then after the Sunday evening service, we're going to have alligator. And I'm not kidding about that, you know. Brother Jose's he's providing an actual alligator, and so it's going to be dead, and it's going to be seasoned, and so we're looking forward to it. And there'll be dessert. And I think we're going to have, like, other normal food for people who can't seem to stomach the alligator or something. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to the alligator. I'm just being honest with you. And so more for us, for those of us who actually want it. But we're looking forward to it. And then on Sunday, apparently Maury's one who just does not want the alligator back there. Sunday, December 31st is the New Year's Eve service. Friday, January 5th is the men's prayer night. And that'll be at 7 p.m. at the church building. And then on Friday, January 26th is Sarah and Giovanni's wedding. If you could do us a favor and scan on the right-hand side there to RSVP so they can get a head count. And so we're excited for them. Looking forward to that. And then if you look there at the bottom, please make sure you don't bring foods or any drinks except for water and coffee into the main auditorium, and no loitering in the foyer or fellowship hall during the preaching service, okay? So please make sure you're not being a distraction going out there. If you're getting a cup of coffee or water, that's one thing, but make sure you're not out there fellowshipping with the ushers and gossiping and doing all that stuff. And then quiet time is this afternoon from 3 p.m. to 4:15. The lights will be off throughout the entire building. So make sure you get a good nap in right before evening service. And then lastly, please make sure you silence your phones during the preaching so as to not be a distraction during the service. And that is pretty much it. Let's go ahead and sing our next song, 426, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day.
Song number 426, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. All together on that first verse.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Amen. Wonderful singing. At this time, the ushers will come forth to receive the offering. You can turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8.
Second Corinthians chapter number 8, the Bible reads, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they are willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to see us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and approve the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also before it a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply to their want, that their abundance also may be a supply to your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward, of his own accord he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us by this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and of the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. And let's pray, dear Lord God. We thank you for your word, for preserving it for us, and for this opportunity to hear it preached. Just ask that you would bless Pastor Mahee with your Holy Spirit now and help us be attentive to your word. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, amen. We are in
chapter number 8 this morning. Look down in your Bibles at verse number 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, listen to this, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." And the title of my sermon this morning is Inconvenient Challenges for the New Year. Inconvenient Challenges for the New Year. I want to take advantage as your pastor to just inconvenience you a little bit this morning and give you some challenges and help you to step out of your comfort zone to accomplish some things in the new year. And none of this stuff is going to be easy. It's actually going to be very inconvenient for you if you're not doing it already. Okay. Now, you say to yourself, well, what's the point of that? Well, if you look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul is addressing the church at Corinth, and he is essentially talking to them about the subject of giving and making a collection for the saints. And he uses the church at Macedonia in the very beginning as an example of someone who is sacrificing and giving. And he says in verse number 3 that to their power, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, meaning that, you know, they obviously had to inconvenience themselves in order to give to the churches and grow in that area. And in fact, we know it was an inconvenience to them because of the fact that it says in verse 2 that they're in great trial of affliction, that they were able to give of their deep poverty and be generous in that area. And so obviously it wasn't easy for them to make this collection and give to the saints, but they were willing of themselves, meaning that they were voluntarily doing this. They were choosing to do this, to do it beyond their power. So they obviously extended themselves just a little bit in order to give to the saints. Now, let me just say this, is that if you don't do any of these things, okay, if you just choose to do just the bare basics, the bare minimum of the Christian life, you can still be right with God, okay? And so don't think to yourselves, well, you know, if I don't do this, then I'm just not a good Christian. No, that's not true. If you just do the bare minimum in the Christian life, it's true that you can still be right with God, right? However, there is this concept in the Bible that the Bible teaches regarding spiritual growth, that we're supposed to abound in all things, right? Meaning that we're supposed to do above and beyond that which is average. And God doesn't just want us to be average Christians, just doing the bare basics. He wants us to abound in blessings. He wants us to abound in all things. And in fact, look at verse number 7. It says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see thee abound in this grace also." I would think that as Christians who are members of First Works Baptist Church, you would not only want to do the bare basics of that which is required of you, but you would want to abound in your Christian life as well. You would want to get better as a Christian, better as a servant of God. And obviously, we're not referring to getting better overnight either. Okay? This is obviously a challenge of an incremental change that you should make throughout the year, day by day, week by week, month by month, to become better and not just stay at an average condition of the Christian life, but actually abound. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read to you some more verses regarding this concept of growing and abounding. You're in 2 Corinthians 10. I'm going to read to you from chapter 9 and verse 11. It says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, one of the most common verses that we know, we can quote it. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. There it says that we should be abounding in our service for God, abounding in the work of God. Philippians 1:9 tells us, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So according to the Bible, we're not only supposed to abound in the work of God, but even in our love one toward another. That means as you grow as a Christian, as you mature as a Christian, your love for the brethren should mature as well. Your love for the lost should mature as well. And it's based upon your knowledge and judgment. That's what the Bible tells us. I'm going to read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. It says, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. It seems to me that the theme of the Bible when it comes to growth is that we're increasing in knowledge, increasing in our faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I don't think God just wants us to do the bare minimum. You know what I mean? And obviously, if you're the type of Christian that says, well, you know, I'm just trying to do the bare basics, and that's all I can do. Well, here's the thing. You know, again, you can stay right with God, or you can pray unto the Lord and say, Lord, increase me. Lord, make me to abound. Lord, make me to increase in my faith and abound in the work of God, abound in all the areas of my life as a Christian. Help me to, for my faith to grow exceedingly. One of my favorite passages in the Bible in regards to Christian growth is 2 Peter chapter 1, where the Bible talks about adding to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. And then it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It sounds to me like God wants us to continue to add to our faith, not subtract to our faith, not regress in our Christian life, but rather add thereto, right? Abound, increase, adding to our faith on a daily, weekly, monthly, and even yearly basis. Now, let me also say this, is that by way of introduction, these challenges that I'm going to give you this morning are not beyond the scope of your capabilities, okay? So don't think to yourself, oh man, you know, yeah, that's good for everyone else, but I can't really do any of that. These aren't beyond the scope of your capabilities. I'm not going to challenge you to do something you just can't do, okay? Can a man add to his stature, you know, by giving thought? No, you know what I mean? So obviously, we're not going to challenge people and exhort people to do things that they just can't not do. These are things that you are able to do. And in fact, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It says here in verse 13, for we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. So I'm not going to give you something that's outside of your measure, but in fact, it's according to the measure of the rule that God hath distributed unto you. So whatever challenge I'm giving to you, it's already something that God's commanding you to do, right? It's according to the rule that God had already distributed to you. I'm just encouraging you to abound in that area. Now, if I was preaching in a different church that's not a fundamental Baptist church, you know, maybe some non-denom church, this would be a challenge to most of them to just take care of the bare basics, right? But this is a fundamental Baptist church. This is First Works Baptist Church. I'm going to assume that the majority of the people here, 99% of the people here, are doing the bare basics. Therefore, it's time to level up. Amen? Amen. And what better way, what better time to do that then in the new year, where everyone's got their New Year's resolution, I'm going to lose this much weight, I'm going to take up karate, I'm going to take up, you know, some sort of physical activity or something like that, I'm going to start doing this. Well, let's add some spiritual goals to that list, shall we?
Yeah.
And abound therein. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And so, obviously, these are challenges that are not beyond the scope of your capabilities. And in fact, I think of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, where he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, listen to this, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So even the Apostle Paul understood this concept that God was commanding him to do something that might have been outside of his capabilities, but God enabled him to do so. So if God commands you to do something, number one, he either knows that you can do it, or he's going to enable you to do it if you can't do it, right?
Right.
So think about that. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 1. It says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here are some things that I'm going to give you on how to walk and how to please God. And my desire and my prayer this morning would be that you would abound more and more. And obviously, you know what the commandments of the Lord are. And so very basic sermon this morning, some inconvenient challenges. Let's start off. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Now, obviously, as Christians, you know, we should have goals each year of areas that we want to improve in. Maybe it's in our homes, maybe it's in our marriage, maybe it's with our children at work, or just personally, just improving ourselves personally this coming year. But we got to keep in mind that the spiritual goals are the most important, okay? Because that essentially determines everything else on how everything else is going to go. And that should have top priority on our list, okay? So I'm going to give you these challenges, and these challenges fall into three categories, okay? So there's three categories, and these three categories are elements of the Christian life that no Christian can live without, okay? If someone were to tell me, what are the keys to the Christian life? I would say these three are the most essential things for you to do as a Christian in order for you to succeed and to please God. And the categories will be Bible, soul winning, and church. Pretty simple, right? You can't be a good Christian without all three of those right then and there, okay? And you can't have one without the other. Like, you got to have all three. You're like, well, you know, I do the Bible and I go to church, just the soul winning. No, that's part of following the Lord. And in fact, Jesus said, if you're not a fisher of men, you're not really following him. And so that's proof right there that you need all three of these, okay? And so these challenges that I'm going to give this morning fall into these categories right here. Now, I typically don't do this in my sermon, but I'm going to do this morning, and that is, I want to encourage you, ushers, I didn't prepare you for this. Can we pass out some pens? Who needs a pen? Because you guys are going to write down what challenge you want to, and if you're faking it, it's all good, you know, as long as it looks like you're writing it down, okay? You're just like, you know, that's fine. But I want to exhort you to write down one of these challenges. I'm going to give a couple, and I'm not saying you have to do all of them. Now, if you want to take up all of them, kudos to you, right? But if you're like, you know what, that's one that I need to work on, and that's one that I'm going to take up, hey, I take that challenge. I take you up on that challenge. I'm going to take you up on that. I'm going to improve in this area. And so you can write one of these challenges down. And I'm going to address two groups in our church, which would be the newer Christians / the babes in Christ and or the seasoned Christians, okay? And I'm not going to point out who's a new Christian, who's a babe in Christ, and who I think is a babe in Christ or whatever. You know, you determine that on your own. But based upon these challenges, you might be like, you know, I'm a babe in Christ, actually. You know, I think I'm going to be in that category. All right, so let's talk about the Bible, okay? Challenges regarding the Bible. Challenge number one is to increase your Bible content consumption this year, okay? Increase your Bible content consumption this year. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf For the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, the Bible says. So this challenge is to enrich your knowledge of God's word, enrich your knowledge of the Bible, of the content of the word of God. And it doesn't happen by accident. It's not going to happen by osmosis. It's not going to happen by accident. You have to on purpose choose to do these things in order that at the end of 2024, you're like, you know what? I have increased in my knowledge of the word of God, of the Bible. So let me address the new Christians / the babes in Christ first. And let me just explain what a new Christian or a babe in Christ is, okay? A babe in Christ is essentially someone who just got saved. And I would even say within the last year or even 2 years, that would be considered a babe in Christ. Here's another way to describe a babe in Christ is someone who has been saved for maybe even 10 to 20 years, but has never grown in their faith. So both would be considered a babe in Christ, right? Because when we talk about, when we're measuring a babe in Christ, we're saying how much they have been faithful or consistent in the Christian life, how much Bible they know, how long have they been actually walking with God. If you've been saved for a long time, it doesn't mean you're mature in the Lord. It's really based upon your consistency and faithfulness to God through the Bible. And so let me address the babes in Christ regarding this challenge, okay? So this is only for babes in Christ and new Christians. So you seasoned Christians, don't tune me out and don't mock the challenge of the new Christians, especially if you haven't done this, okay? So challenge for you new Christians, pay attention. Read the Bible for 15 minutes a day. I'm not done yet, though. Without skipping days. You see, you know what I've learned as a Christian over the last couple of years, over the last 16 years, really, is that it's not hard for Christians to read the Bible for 15 minutes a day. You know what the hard part is to do it every single day without missing. And I've noticed that sometimes new Christians will take up the challenge of reading the Bible 15 minutes a day, but you know, they'll skip a day here or there. You know, they'll skip Sunday, or they'll skip Monday, they'll skip Tuesday, and then they'll try to basically like add all of the chapters that they missed on Wednesday or something. They're just like, all right, I'm going to read for an hour then just to make up for. No. Why don't the better thing to do would be to learn how to read the Bible every single day. You see, the discipline of reading the Word of God every single day is far more important than how much Bible you read a day, even though that is important. It's more important to develop the discipline of just picking up the Bible and reading it every single day without miss. So now some of you seasoned Christians, you might think to yourself, oh man, maybe I need to take up that challenge actually, which is perfectly fine. But the reason I say 15 minutes a day is because if you read the Bible for 15 minutes a day, you will finish the Bible in 1 year. Fact, you know, you're like, man, 15 minutes a day, I don't know. Well, you scroll through Instagram for more than that. You're on Facebook a lot longer than that. You know, you're on there, you're watching those reels for hours on end. And so 15 minutes of your day to read the Word of God is not hard at all. But the challenge for newer Christians is to not skip a day. Meaning, it's got to be important. Meaning, no matter what happens that day, you're getting your Bible reading in. Now, let me give you a word of advice when it comes to being consistent in a particular discipline. It's very important to have a time and a place to do it every single day. Because if you tell yourself, well, I'm going to read the Bible for 15 minutes a day, I'm going to do it every day, I'll just find some time somewhere, you know, because I'm so busy, you know, that's not going to work. What works is when you already have mentally the environment that you're going to do that discipline in and the time that you're going to execute the task. So if you tell yourself at 7 o'clock every day at my desk, I'm going to read for 15 minutes a day, half of the battle is won already. Because environment is important, okay? Determining where you're going to execute that task is very important. Now, obviously, as the years go by and you've been consistent in your Bible reading, you can be flexible as far as what time and where you read your Bible because of the fact that the discipline of just reading has already been ingrained in you. You already know how to do it. It's something that you're not going to go without. But as a new Christian, oh man, all these guys just came in. I got to start all over again. All right, so challenge number one. No, I'm just kidding. All these babes in Christ just walked in. No, I'm just kidding. The challenge for you is to pick a place. The challenge for you is to pick a time. Okay? Now, along with that, let me just say this. And this is an inconvenient thing for you to do, okay? It's to find someone to help you to be consistent. This is very inconvenient. You say, why is that? Because it's embarrassing. Can you help me read my Bible every day? I mean, you know, you think to yourself, well, you know, I'll just make sure that I do it. Well, you know, I've learned that success happens far more speedily when we have someone aiding us in our spiritual growth and checking up on us, making sure that we read the Bible. I remember when I first got saved, and at the church we were going to, we had a lot of these accountability partners that would help us to be consistent. And I remember it got to a point where, you know, we would have these clubs in church where we would essentially take on about five students of the Christian school or whatever to call them every single day. And I remember there's one particular guy that I would call every single day at a specific time. And the only thing that I would ask him, because I didn't care anything else about his life. No, I'm just kidding. No, the only thing I would ask him, I would say, Jeremy, or no, his name was Josh. I said, Josh, did you read your Bible today? And he says, I read my Bible today. And I would say, okay, great. What did you read? And he would tell me some content of what he read. And I'm like, all right, see you tomorrow. Every single day, for months on end, I just called him and asked him, did you read your Bible today? And you know what? I guarantee you, to this day, he's probably still reading his Bible. Okay? Because it helps to have an accountability partner. And so it would cause the inconvenience in that area is that you need to find someone to actually hold you accountable. Okay? And obviously, you want to find someone who's mature in the Lord, someone who's also consistent, someone who's actually reading the Bible themselves. You know, not someone who's taking the challenge with you. Okay? So read the Bible 15 minutes a day, new Christians and babes in Christ, without skipping days. Find a place, find a time, and be consistent. And here's the thing, folks, is that once you find a place and find a time, and you do this for a certain amount of time, you know, you're not going to be like these people who have these New Year's resolutions up until the end of January. You know, you understand what I'm saying? It's like, I'm resolved to do this, and by the time February comes around, it's just like they've fallen off the wagon, and they're no longer keeping with it. You obviously want to keep this for the rest of your life. But we're starting off with 2024 first. So, inconvenient challenge for new Christians and babes in Christ. Increase your Bible content consumption by reading the Bible for 15 minutes a day without skipping days. Now, you know what? It's going to require, especially if you're a mom and you have a busy life, it's going to require for you to look at your schedule and see when is the best time for me to read the Bible. Okay? Now, in my opinion, the best time to read the Bible is in the morning. But for some people, that just doesn't happen very often. Maybe the evening is far more conducive. You need to find a time. Whatever time you pick, though, you need to stick to that time. I'm going to read the Bible every night at 9 p.m. in my room, on my chair. Okay, stick to that for 3 to 6 months, and you will be consistent for the rest of your life. Okay? So that is the challenge for new Christians and babes in Christ. 15 minutes a day without skipping days, finding a time and a place, and getting an accountability partner to make sure that you're reading the Bible every single day. Because, you know, there's something about like getting a phone call and knowing. You're like, okay, he's going to call me, she's going to call me, so I got to make sure I get my Bible reading in. Okay? You're like, well, they're only doing it because they're going to get a call. Well, that's what accountability is for. You know, we do certain things for the Lord because we know that if we don't, we might get punished or we'll get blessed for it. So there's nothing wrong with having an accountability partner, knowing full well that they're going to call you and check upon you to do so. Okay? All right. Now let's talk about seasoned Christians when it comes to Bible content consumption. Now, when I mean seasoned Christians, I'm referring to people who have read the Bible. They've read the Bible, you know, they read it maybe every year. They've already been consistent in reading it every single day. Okay, here's your challenge, you scholars. Read through the Bible 2 to 3 times this year. Amen. 2 to 3 times. 7 to 10 chapters a day. Now, this can be accomplished, listen, by reading the Bible and listening to it daily. Okay? So you could actually do this. This is very much attainable. It's actually very simple to do. If you just break it up into 5 chapters in the morning, or whenever it is that you actually read the Bible, you open up the Bible, you read 5 chapters, okay? and then you listen to five chapters. So you read five chapters on your own, and on your way to work, you turn on Alexander Scorby, and you listen to five chapters. Now, here lies the issue with people when it comes to these types of challenges. And they're like, well, you know, I just really need to, like, read slowly, and I have a hard time paying attention when I listen to the Bible. Then discipline yourself to pay attention then. Okay? Because if you do that, then you'll pay attention in church. So the problem is not the method of consuming the Bible through audio. The problem is you. You got to pay attention. Okay? And so listening to the Bible is a great exercise for your mind to listen to and pay attention and retain what you're listening to kind of block everything out. And look, let's just be honest. When we read the Bible, there's times when our mind wanders. I think everyone can. I'm the pastor, and that happens to me. You know, I'm reading, and then it's just like my mind wanders a little bit. I'm like, oh, got to get back on track. Now, what you don't want to do when that happens is just keep rereading what you feel like you lost in translation. Okay, is it, you guys remember the SAT score, the SAT exams? They would always have this instruction where they said, like, if you don't know the answer, just keep going, right, and then come back to it later. Or am I that old? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Well, that's kind of like with the Bible, okay? So if you're reading the Bible and you feel like your mind wanders a little bit and you feel like you didn't consume whatever previous verses were in that chapter or the previous chapter, just keep reading because you have a lifetime to build that discipline. You're going to read that chapter again. It's not going anywhere, right? You could come back to it later. It's not going to go anywhere. And obviously, I'm not referring to studying the Bible. Studying the Bible is different in the sense that you're spending time on a particular passage, meditating upon it, cross-referencing, things of that nature. We're referring to just reading the Bible at this point, okay? So you seasoned Christians, you scholars out there, read the Bible 2 to 3 times a year. This can be accomplished by reading the Bible, listening to it daily, 7 to 10 chapters a day, 5 chapters in the morning, 5 chapters of reading, and then 5 chapters of audio. Now, if that's not enough for you, then increase it. Go to 4 to 5 times a year, okay? But I think 2 to 3 times a year for just a Christian member of a church is a great accomplishment for a seasoned Christian to do, okay? Now, we're not done yet, though, okay? Because along with Bible content consumption, here is a new challenge for both groups. Make Bible memory an accessory discipline this year. Now, let me address the new Christians again. For you new Christians, memorize soul-winning verses. Okay? So go to your team leader and tell them, I want every soul-winning verse that's necessary to get someone saved. And if you could have it on my desk on Monday morning, you know, that would be great. Thank you. Get all the soul-winning verses and memorize them all. When I first got saved, that was pretty much the first thing I started memorizing in the Bible were my soul-winning verses. Once I memorized the Romans Road, then I branched outside of that to other verses throughout the Bible having to do with salvation, eternal security, hell, just memorizing that so that I can become more proficient in my gospel presentation. Because the more verses you memorize, the more you're quick in the draw when you're at the door. Okay, you just have a spiritual belt of ammo to choose from when you're just shooting from the hip and you just have the verses memorized, okay? And so for new Christians, memorize soul-winning verses. This will require just a 3x5, writing it down, and obviously there's different methods of doing this. If you need more information regarding how to memorize, you can see me after the service, but that's kind of outside of the scope of the sermon, so I'm not going to go into all that. For seasoned Christians, this year, short passages and or chapters of the Bible. Okay? Now, we're going to begin doing scripture memory for the church this new year. Starting in January, we're going to start doing scripture memory of passages, and then we'll alternate between chapters and passages in the Bible. And that's going to help. So, you know, part of that is to kind of help you be accountable. And obviously, it's, you know, you have to be willing of yourself. So no one's going to force you to do it, and no peer pressuring anybody. Like, you're not memorizing with us? Oh, okay. Well, you memorize everything else, you know. Don't you know your birthday? And, you know, don't start guilt-tripping people because they're not memorizing passages or something, okay? There will be a reward for those who are able to quote these passages, though. And so it's as a way to motivate you to do so. But here's the thing is that people sometimes ask me, you know, they'll ask me about finding certain truths in the Bible and how to do it. One of the greatest ways, in my opinion, of getting these deep truths of the Bible is actually scripture memory. And it's not because of the fact that it just unlocks something in your brain, and it's because you're thinking about it all the time. Because really, the best way to get Bible truths, deep Bible truths out of the Bible, is to think about the Bible. When you're constantly thinking about the Word of God, you're thinking about a certain passage, it's just running in your mind. That's called meditating on God's Word, right? So the more you do that, the more layers that you peel back in those portions of Scripture, and you can get more out of the Word of God in that way. And so, you know, the Bible tells us, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So one of the reasons I put this here, as far as Bible memory is concerned, is to help you to be successful in your other areas. Because this is actually a guaranteed way for you to succeed in your Bible reading, or in just any area in your life, is just by memorizing the Bible. You say, well, how do you know? Because he promised that he'll make our way prosperous, and we will have good success. And so Bible content consumption, you say, well, what about sermons? Well, you're getting sermons here. And you're already probably consuming sermons on a weekly basis anyways. We're trying to increase your personal walk with God, because I guarantee you, even though this is a fundamental Baptist church, I guarantee you there are people in this church that have not read their Bible this week. That's just the nature of the beast. And I guarantee you that if you do read your Bible, there's probably been a couple days that you've gone without. You understand what I mean? It's quiet. It's got quiet. It's just really quiet right here. I mean, it's just the nature of, it's just human nature. And so you're like, I know end times prophecy, though. I'm not questioning that. You know, I'm just saying that, you know, here is the dirty little secret of Christians sometimes, is that they don't esteem their personal walk with God as much sometimes. And so this is a reset button for all of us, for new Christians and for seasoned Christians, to pick up the Word of God once again and to make it a consistent discipline. And when I say consistent, I mean daily discipline of just reading the Bible every single day. And obviously, this has got to be a King James Bible, okay? And with whatever scriptures you quote, has to be King James, by the way. And I'll give you the rules as far as like how we're going to do this with scripture memory. But, you know, we will have rules that, you know, if you're going to quote it to someone, it can't be someone in your family, and, you know, it can't be your best friend or something like that who's going to help you to cheat so you guys can split the winnings or whatever. You know, it's got to be someone who is not part of your family that you can quote it to. And so I think this is a great discipline for the new year, and it'll help you to kick off the new year with a lot of success. And so Bible content consumption, write it down. I hope you wrote one of those challenges down. You don't have to write them all three or all those challenges, but one of those, if you say, you know what, I can't memorize the Bible right now, I got to work on reading the Bible for 15 minutes a day, and I got to work on reading it every single day, well, kudos to you. Amen. Okay? That's good. Or it's like, well, I can't really memorize the Bible right now. You know, I'm a seasoned Christian. I did miss today, though. So maybe I got to add that to my repertoire. And you know what? I am going to try to read the Bible twice this year or three times this year. And I'm going to implement the discipline of listening to the Bible as well in order to streamline that achievement. Okay? But maybe you're on the ball. You're a disciplined individual. You don't miss reading the Bible. For you, it's just like, well, the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone. So I've just always read the Bible. You know, maybe you grew up in a home of discipline, or you've been in church for quite some time. You just read the Word of God. Okay, let's add some scripture memory to that then. Let me inconvenience you somehow today by adding something that you don't currently have at this moment. And this is an inconvenience, okay? And so, but it's an inconvenience that will yield fruit that will abound, okay? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2, let's talk about the second challenge here. And the second challenge is to abound in utterance. What is that? I'm talking about soul winning. Okay? So here's the second challenge. You're like, man, I thought you just gave us like three or four challenges. Well, that was under the category of Bible content consumption, though. Now, because remember, there's three categories. It's Bible, soul winning, and church. So the second one is soul winning, okay? Abounding in utterance. Because he says in verse number 5 of 1 Corinthians 1, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 6, and verse number 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13, if you would, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Talk about inconvenient challenges for the new year. Look at Matthew 13 and verse 22. It says here in Matthew 13, verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So the challenge, obviously, overall for soul winning is that you'd be a person who yields 30-fold. Some of you would yield 60, and some of you would yield 100. Now, let me give you some specific challenges in that regard. Let's talk to new Christians and babes in Christ, okay? And when I'm talking about new Christians, I'm talking about people who don't preach the gospel. They don't go soul winning. Join a team and go soul winning on Sunday. You should make it your goal to discipline yourself, to already have in your mind, Sunday is church and soul winning. Right? And I'm telling you, that's half the battle won already. People lose when they already are defeated in their mind. Right? Prior to even trying to accomplish the goal. If you're already defeated in your mind, if you already think like, oh, we'll see if we go soul winning, well, then there's like a 50-50 chance that you're probably not going to go. There's a large percentage, that, a possibility you're not just going to go on Sunday. But if you're already determined in your mind, we're going to church and we're going to go soul winning because that's just what we're going to do, then that's the half the battle already won. And what happens is someone at church is going to ask you, you're going soul winning? And you just open your big mouth and say, yes. Because now someone knows. Now someone knows. And so you got to situate yourself in such a way that you just go soul winning on Sunday, okay? But don't be a person who allows themselves to be defeated in their mind first. And I'll give you a personal example of this, okay? And yes, it's a powerlifting illustration. Sorry. There's times when I'm trying to hit like a top single of a particular number, let's say for squats. And, you know, I have in my mind, I'm gonna go for 350, okay? But if I start that squat thinking, I don't know if I can hit 350, more often than not, I don't even go up to that number. Because in my mind, I'm already defeated. Now, thankfully, I remember a couple weeks ago, you know, I was going to go up to a particular number, and Ulysses was there, and he saw one of my squats, and he said, oh, yeah, you could go up higher than that. But if he wasn't there, I would have just stayed at that particular number because I just thought to myself, like, this is all I can do. But I actually was able to hit that number because I had someone exhorting me, telling me that I could. So obviously, you know, how we illustrate that is, first and foremost, you need to go into that squat believing that you're going to lift that thing. And obviously, be realistic, you know what I mean? Okay, don't take that illustration too far here, okay? Be realistic, but, you know, come to church on Sunday morning, we're going to church, and we're going soul winning. And then you're going to have like a Ulysses at church to kind of encourage you when you get here, because you're a part of a team now, one of the soul winning teams. You're going to have one of your team leaders ask you, hey, you coming with us? And you're just like, yeah, I'm going, okay? Now, notice I didn't put in there and start preaching the gospel, okay? Because it's important for new Christians to see how it's done first for a long period of time. And obviously at the discretion of your team leader, okay? But you, like anybody else, will catch the bug When you go on the team and you're a silent partner and you're seeing everyone get people are getting saved and soul winners are preaching the gospel, you're going to have that desire and say, you know what, I want to do it too. Okay? And so for babes in Christ, join a team. Why? Because teams are accountability. And just start going soul winning on Sundays. Why Sundays? Because it just makes the achievement of that much easier. One of the reasons we have soul winning on Sunday, in my opinion, is because of the fact that it's just easier for people to go. You know, we can have it on Saturday, and we have soul winning times throughout the week, but this is the largest group of people who go out on a weekly basis because they're already here. So it's just easier to get them to go out. So take advantage of that by just saying, you know what, church and soul winning, that's what we do, church and soul winning, church and soul winning, church and soul winning. So, babes in Christ, new Christians, join a team and go soul winning on Sunday. Now, along with that, let me just say this. I don't have this on my notes. But it's important for new Christians just to put themselves under someone's authority sometimes too, which is why the teams are there. Okay? And I know sometimes people don't like that because they don't like to be told that their soul winning is wrong or they can improve in this area. But get over yourself. Yeah. Just fix it and be better. Okay? We all need to be told that our form is wrong every now and then. Yeah. We all need to be told that we're wrong in this area and that we can improve in this area. And yeah, it's humbling. Of course it is. But it's meant to just make us better. And I know sometimes Christians are like, well, you know, I'm a lone ranger, a soul winner. And, you know, I don't really like to be a part of that team. Or just get yourself on a team. It'll make keeping the discipline of going soul winner far more achievable than if you were to just go by yourself, not accountable to anybody. Join a team and go soul winning on Sunday. All right, let's talk to seasoned Christians. Seasoned Christians. Now, who am I talking about? I'm talking about people who go soul winning on Sundays already. They already have in their mind church soul winning, right? Okay, here's one for you. Add a soul winning time throughout the week. Now, let me talk to the seasoned Christians, the seasoned soul winners for a couple minutes here. Because here's the thing, folks. You know, Orange County is just a great place, right? It's like red. It's Trump Town, amen. Bless God. It's nothing like El Monte and Los Angeles. Los Angeles is just different. It wasn't very welcoming to us over there. But you know what? Los Angeles is very receptive to the gospel. Man, it was so receptive. I mean, it still is. But obviously, it's just a lot easier to get people saved in Los Angeles, right? Here in Orange County, not as easy, right? And I think all the team leaders can attest to this, that sometimes you go out and you just don't get anybody saved. And you might be the team leader or the Christian is just like, is it me? Am I not right with God? Do I have sin in my life? Well, sometimes it's just the area you're going to, okay? But do not lose heart. And don't be a Christian that thinks to themselves, oh, it's just the area. Yeah. Okay? And let me explain to you why. Because Ulysses and I, we go soul winning in Orange County. And we get about 1 to 2 salvations a week here just in Orange County. In the same areas that most people go to. You say, well, what's changed? The frequency of soul winning. Okay? So the more frequently you go, the more likely it is that you're going to get someone saved. So you team leaders out there, add another soul winning time to increase the frequency and then therefore the likelihood of you getting people saved. Because you can make the excuse of, oh, but it's Orange County. Okay, then do more soul winning so you can actually get some more people saved. Create a soul winning time in your immediate area with your family or join one of the other church-sponsored soul-winning times, but here's the challenge. Add another soul-winning time. Oh, but I don't have time. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We all have time to do the things of God. Amen. We all have time to abound in the things of God as well. Sometimes it requires a little bit of sacrifice of some other fun things that we like to do, though, okay, in order to accomplish that. And so the inconvenient challenge for you team leaders and you seasoned soul winners is to add and I'm not talking to new Christians, okay? I'm talking to the seasoned ones. Maybe you had a dry spell this year of salvations, and you're like, I haven't seen a whole lot of people saved, and it's just like, woe is me. Well, stop complaining and increase your frequency and just go get more salvations then. Okay? Because soul winning still works. Preaching the gospel still works, no matter where you're at. The truth is, though, Orange County is not Belize. Belize is a different beast. You go to Belize, you're just handing out salvations like left and right. You're just like, save, 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 save. It's just super easy to get people saved out there. But it's not like that here. So either you're going to complain about it, murmur about it, and just be a fruitless Christian, or you need to revisit your methods and say, you know what, I just need to increase the frequency of my soul winning so I can get more people saved. And really, to be a hundredfold is just about two salvations a week. Now, but here's some motivation for you, okay? But it's still, I'm still going to inconvenience you right now. Because we don't have Belize, but we do have Mexico. And let me say this, is that one of the reasons people think that it's very unreceptive here is not because it's unreceptive, but because what?
Spanish.
You say, well, how do you get so many people saved then? Because I speak Espanol. I speak the Spanish. Si hablo Espanol. So let me give you a challenge right now. Let me give you a challenge you're just not going to like. You need to start learning Spanish. Now, hold on a second. Okay? I'm not saying be fluent in Spanish. I'm not saying you're going to write a book in Spanish. I'm just saying learn to preach the gospel in Spanish. I've known people in the old IFB, my mother-in-law being one of them, who speaks the most broken Spanish, but has gotten a ton of people saved. Because in college, she just picked up Spanish, she memorized the verses in Spanish, she memorized the phrases, and she just grew accustomed to going to areas where there's Puerto Ricans, that was in Chicago, and speaking to people who speak Spanish, and just got a bunch of people saved. So, here's your options. Okay? Either increase the frequency to get more people saved in English, or you know what? You need to just start learning Spanish. And you know what? I think people here can learn Spanish. Amen. I know that, you know, some are more likely than others, and I understand the whole concept of, you know, if you got it, you got it. If you don't, you don't. But you know what? I'd rather have someone speak broken Spanish, okay, and preach the gospel in broken Spanish and get people saved than you just not try it all because you just can't learn Spanish. Get what I'm saying? Now, some people might be listening to you like, oh, that's impossible. I can't do that. Well, you haven't even tried, so how do you know? You're saying it's impossible, but you haven't even tried. Well, I tried. What, like for like a month, though? We're talking about commitment here. Okay, and incremental success of, you can start off by just memorizing verses in Spanish. Like, oh man, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. Well, luckily you have a lot of Mexicans in this church who can tell you how to pronounce things. There's plenty of them. We're all over the place. So learning how to speak Spanish. And it's going to cause you to be a little humble too, because yeah, you might sound a little silly. Especially you gringos. But you know what? I know some gringos in our church that without shame, they go to a door, mi nombre es Giovanni, soy de iglesia, una invitación para usted. But you know what? Let me just encourage you, though. Hispanics love that, though. Yeah. They love it. When they see a person who's not a Mexican or Hispanic, whatever, trying to communicate with them in Spanish, they'll actually put in more effort to try to understand what you're saying, because they're very impressed when people learn their language. So you have an advantage. So even if you speak broken Spanish, you're in good company, because the people who are you're going to be preaching to, they're willing to listen, and they like it. Okay? And I know you can pop up the Spanish gospel, my Spanish guy, have them listen to that. But why don't you just memorize that video instead and learn what that video is saying? And then you'll get, and I guarantee you, your salvations will increase. Because the problem is not necessarily that it's really unreceptive? I know that's part of it, but the issue is that every door you knock on just so happens to be a Spanish speaker. I mean, how many of you come back from Seoul and you're just like, there's just a lot of Spanish speakers? So it's not unreceptive, though, so stop saying that. Say, you don't speak Espanol. Okay? Now, again, I'm not saying you have to be fluent in Spanish. Please don't mistake me. I'm not saying that you're that some, you know, somehow you're just going to be this, you know, Spanish scholar or something. But you can know enough to preach the gospel in Spanish. You can know enough to preach the gospel in Spanish. Now, those of you who know two languages for sure can learn Spanish. Because you already know two languages. How many know at least two languages here? Raise your hand if you know two languages. Raise your hand nice and high. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Okay? All right, raise your hand if you know three languages. Okay? Connor, yeah, but Connor already. Connor's like a polyglot, though. Like, you keep your hand down, Connor. This isn't for you. Moses, okay, and Adam. All right? Anybody who knows four languages? Anybody know four languages? Okay, so we're capped out at three. So if you know two to three languages, you can know some broken Spanish. And there's enough Spanish speakers here that can help you perfect that a little bit, okay? And I think this is important, my friends, because we have to adapt and overcome. Because you know what? Mexicans ain't going nowhere. They ain't going nowhere. They're right here. They're just not. And you know what? In fact, more are going to come, which means that we have to what? We have to adapt and overcome. So part of adapting is just like, I need to learn Spanish, and I need to learn how to preach the gospel in Spanish. And look, I remember when in our old church plant, we were in Monterey Park, there was a large Chinese population there. So what I did is I just started learning Mandarin. Just enough, though. Because I knew I didn't have to preach the gospel in Mandarin. I just need to know enough Mandarin to impress them so they can speak to me in English. Because they would always tell me just like, no English, no English. I'm like, Punto Huama? Like, oh, you speak English. I'm like, yeah. And then we just start talking English after that. But obviously, it's a different case with Spanish speakers. And actually, it isn't. In some instances, they probably do speak English. Okay. And so this is the challenge for you. Is to learn speaking Spanish. And by the way, some of you Spanish speakers, you better know how to preach the gospel in Spanish for sure. Don't let these non-Spanish speakers outdo you by learning how to preach the gospel in Spanish, and you speak Spanish and you're not learning to preach the gospel. You better learn how to preach the gospel in Spanish. Okay? And it's very simple. You start off by just learning, memorizing the verses. You can grab my gospel presentation in Spanish and learn the phrases there. I mean, we have a guy here, right here, Connor. He can probably help you out with some, you know, phrases and words. I mean, his Spanish is probably the most proper Spanish here. And by the way, he's not Mexican. There's not a single Hispanic ounce of blood on him. Okay, but he's just Connor. Okay. And so, hey, to get your 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, it's going to cause some inconvenient things for you to do. You have to inconvenience yourself and learn how to speak a little bit of Spanish more than just how to order a burrito or something. Okay? For you seasoned, and I'm speaking to seasoned Christians only at this point. Okay, I'm not talking about the babes in Christ. Babes in Christ, you got to work your way to that point. But you know what? Some of you were inspired to speak Spanish at one time and inspired to learn Spanish, and then, you know, you just got discouraged and you just fell off the wagon. Okay? Well, here's the reset button. Start learning again. And you will be preaching to a very forgiving culture and a very patient culture, because they like it when people of other nationalities are attempting to speak to them in Spanish. It's just more likely that they're going to listen to you. And I would even say that it's more likely for you to get a person saved in Spanish if you're not Mexican or something, and you're like white, than a full-blown Mexican trying to get that person saved. You probably get them saved faster than Ulysses would. Or Jose, right? You know, because of the fact that sometimes they're just like, no, to them, because, you know, it's just like they're, you know, they're Mexican. But the white person, they're like, oh, I want to listen to this person. Well, take advantage of it. hey, we need to take advantage of these things. I mean, you hear about the Philippines, right? How a lot of times people get saved because they just see Americans as movie, as like celebrities. You know? But you know what? The soul winners will take it. They're just like, as long as you're willing to listen. You know, in Belize, they'll give you the time of day because they don't want to be rude. We'll take it. We'll take it. So if you have that advantage, take it. Okay? But start learning Spanish. Start picking it up again. Start learning so you can increase the salvations this year. And I guarantee you will increase. And look, if you become, you know, somewhat proficient, you can come with us to Mexico and TJ, because we're going to start doing that again in January. And that is a gold mine of salvations there. We go there, just people are getting saved left and right as well. It's almost like Belize. Yes. Moses always thinks we're having like a one-on-one conversation sometimes when I'm preaching. It's almost as receptive as Belize, you know, and it's just a little more tiring because you're preaching in Spanish. So like for me, I get exhausted. You have to take breaks. But we get a lot of salvations in Mexico and TJ, and there's plenty of Mexicans there. And it's a different, and by the way, it's a different Mexican culture too. They're a lot, they're just more patient with us as well. And so, but I want to throw that out there because I think that's important. So, and you, if you say, well, you know, I've tried Spanish for years and I just don't get it. Okay, then increase your frequency then. Increase your frequency of soul winning, and I guarantee you will get more salvations. But I would say that a lot of people could probably learn a little bit of Spanish, enough to get someone saved. Bible says in Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that you increase your frequency, but I'm also pray that you don't forget this challenge of learning Spanish a little bit. Okay. And I think it would be a wonderful accomplishment at the end of 2024 to know that there's some people here that they took that challenge. Oh, okay, let me give you this last example. I know this guy, he's super white. Very white. His name is Pastor Jonathan Shelley. That man's white. That's Anglo right there. You know what? He learned Spanish in 6 months. He just applied himself and just like, from, I think it was like January to, I think it was like June or July when we went to a Mexico missions trip. This is years ago. And he learned particularly for that trip. And you know what happened? He got his first salvations in Spanish in Mexico. And Pastor Shelley, he's a white man. Okay. And so, but I'm praying for you that you would take up that challenge. Okay, it's going to require some inconvenience on your end, but it can be done. Last challenge here. Go with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. So two categories down, one last one to go, okay? Inconvenient challenges for the new year. Challenge number 3, abound in church attendance and increase in love. Abound in church attendance. Of course, we know the verse. Hebrews 10:24-25. Says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For new Christians, here's your challenge. Retire your Sunday morning glory attire and come Sunday night. This is for new Christians, babes in Christ. If you're a Sunday morning glory, meaning you only come to church on Sunday morning, it's time to hang that up and start getting involved with the big boys and come Sunday night. And I know you got things to do. Everyone's got things to do. We all got things to do. That's why I'm trying to inconvenience you here, though. To start coming on Sunday night. Okay? And it's time to increase. It's time to abound. It's time to make that decision to put the excuses away. And, you know, but we got something going on tomorrow. But tomorrow's tomorrow, though. Here's the great thing. Today is still today. And it doesn't even end until 12. And luckily, church finishes like hours before that. I'm seeing a lot of sour faces right now. I told you I was going to inconvenience you, though. I know it's an inconvenience. I know you got to work. I know you got all types of responsibilities. And I'm only talking to the babes in Christ here. Okay? But there comes a point where excuses got to go, and it's time to kind of grow a little bit and abound and increase and say, you know what? I'm going to start coming Sunday nights. I'm going to stick around. I'm going to go soul winning, and then, which will make it easier for me to stick around. And then I'm going to make it all, just a family day activity here at church. Yeah. Go eat, come to church, hear some preaching. And if you have to, you know, dash out the door thereafter, then so be it. Okay? People do that sometimes. You know, if they got to get going, they got to get going. But they're trying to add that service, add that service. So hang up and retire your Sunday morning glory only attire and come Sunday night. You know, your favorite TV show will probably be on another time. Okay, your soap opera, whatever it is you're trying to get home to watch. Now to the seasoned Christians, and when I say seasoned, who am I talking to? I'm talking to the three to thrive. We have people in our church that are three to thrive, meaning they're just like they're part of the furniture here. They're Sunday morning, Sunday night, they're Thursday. You can just essentially set your watch to them. You know that they're going to be here. And if they're not, it's just weird. You know what I mean? It's like it's something extreme took place, like they died or something. I don't know. Something happened, they're just not here. It's just like, okay, I guess, you know. But in general, they're here pretty much all three services. That is three to thrive. And I love that phrase because it's true. You want to thrive in your Christian life, you're here three services. Okay? But here's your challenge for those seasoned Christians who are three to thrive. You're like, well, aren't I doing enough, though, Pastor? Isn't the three services enough? No, I'm going to inconvenience you right now. Make yourself an asset to your team. Amen. Make yourself an asset to your team. What do I mean? Don't just show up, participate. Amen. Participate meaning sing in services. Participate in the activities. Amen. Don't just show up. Participate. Don't just soul win. Disciple someone. So ask your team leader, who's someone that I can help you train to be a full-fledged soul winner? Because I already know how to preach the gospel. I'm getting people saved. I want to help someone else learn how to preach the gospel as well. Because, you know, someone taught you how to preach the gospel. So now it's time to return the favor. Amen. So here's, and by the way, discipling people is an inconvenience. That's very inconvenient. Sometimes they don't listen and they do things wrong and, you know, sometimes there's conflict or whatever. But you know what? Life is inconvenient sometimes. And so be an asset to your team by not just showing up but participating, not just soul winning but discipling someone, helping Brother Maury, helping Brother Ulysses, helping Brother Hike, helping Brother Cody to actually train someone to be a full-fledged soul winner. And let me just say this, that feels great. Once you train someone and then they're out there preaching the gospel, you participated in that. It's a fantastic feeling. And then here's, so don't just show up, participate. Don't just soul win, disciple. Don't just fellowship, invest in people. Okay? Invest in people. Go out of your way to be a blessing to someone. For your introverts, that means you need to start going out of your way to talk to people in church, on your team, okay? And I know, and by the way, that's a major inconvenience for introverts. You know, this is like a terrifying scenario for them. You know, it's just like, after church, it's terrifying. Because it's like when everyone gets up and they're just like, I don't know what to do. But you know, as Christians, we don't really have that convenience and that luxury to just not fellowship and invest in people. God's commanded us to do that. Okay? And so don't just fellowship, invest in people. Look for an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. I'm speaking to seasoned Christians. Okay? Look for an opportunity. Look at Philippians 2, verse 18. It says, for the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who would naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. That's a great phrase there, right? Great verse. It's basically saying, you know, Christians should be those who seek that which is Jesus Christ, seek the benefit of others, seek to be a blessing to others, not just what benefits them. Yeah. Don't ask what your church can do for you, but what can you do for your church?
Amen.
Don't ask what can the team do for you? Ask what you can do for your team, seasoned Christian. And so those are your inconvenient challenges for this coming year. Bible consumption, okay, utterance, and church attendance. I told you it wasn't outside of the scope of your capabilities. But it is going to be a little inconvenient to turn it up a little bit. But anything new that we haven't done will always be inconvenient. So it's important for us to just take that. And if you need help, if you're like, well, I need some accountability, we have plenty of people here that can hold you accountable to help you to be successful and achieve that in this coming year. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the commands in the Bible and the fact that the Christian life is simple. It's made up of simple elements, and we just simply build upon those elements throughout our Christian life. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we seek to increase our Bible consumption, and whether that's through reading the Bible more often this year, every single day, but more times this year, or memorizing the Word of God. And I pray that you'd bless those who have determined to do so, Lord. May you fill them with your Spirit and your power and help them to be determined to achieve that goal this year. And also, when it comes to this matter of soul winning, Lord, I pray that you would help those new Christians to join a team and be a part of a team so they can be trained on how to preach the gospel. And for those who are seasoned, Lord, I pray that you would help them to increase their frequency, but also, Lord, that you would enable them to speak a little bit of Spanish in order to preach the gospel in Spanish. I know not everyone can become fluent, but there's people here who can do just enough to get people saved, Lord, and I pray that you would do so in their lives. And then, of course, when it comes to church attendance, may those Sunday morning glories determine to just be here on Sunday night, and then may those seasoned Christians determine to start investing in other people's lives this coming year. We love you. We thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, for our last song, we'll be singing O Holy Night. It'll be our song sheet. If you don't have a song sheet, please raise your hand. If you don't have a song sheet, please raise your hand. One of the ushers will come by to bring you one. O Holy Night as our last song. As the ushers come around, just keep your hand raised if you do need a song sheet. O Holy Night, all together, nice and strong on that first verse. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Faith serenely beaming,
with
So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need. To our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King before him lowly bent. To love one another, his law is love,
and his gospel
is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful singing. You are dismissed.